Thanks for listening to the New Life Podcast. For more great content and updates from our church, visit newlife.org. We hope this message inspires and encourages you today. Now here's Pastor Jordan Boyce.
I've got two scriptures I want to read, but the first is actually on the card that you should have. We're giving out these cards every single week, and this week says, A Place for Peace. And if you want to grab that card, it should be in the seat back pocket right in front of you. I hope you have it. Maybe you got it coming in. Make sure you get it going out. Now, these cards aren't for you. They are for you to give to someone that may need peace. Now, what a week, because you could pretty much give this card to anybody. Walk down the street, hand it to them. They need it. And this week, I didn't write something for the back. We actually decided to put a psalm on there, and I wanted to read this with you and over you, and if you want to follow along, we should have it right on this card. But Psalm 91 says this, Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from the hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge, outstretched arms, they protect you. And under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing. Amen. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. You'll stand untouched. Amen. Yes, because God's your refuge. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. If you hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If you only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side in bad times. I will rescue you and I'll give you a long life and I'll give you my salvation. Come on, how grateful are we for the promises of the Lord? I'm here to declare to you over this state and over this nation, peace is promised. Peace is promised for our souls and the souls of this nation. And we will find refuge in the shadow of the Almighty. One more story I want to read to you from Mark chapter 4. It's really in almost every gospel. You know that stories are important when they show up in multiple gospels. And this story is in almost every single gospel. But I want to read you from Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It's a famous story. It says this. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, Let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him, who's Jesus, along, just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, peace, be still. Then the wind and the waves died down, and it was complete calm. He said to the disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified. There's the answer to that question. And they asked each other, Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? One last time, let's pray. We've been praying a lot today. I think we need it. Jesus, we give this time to you. All of our campuses, whoever's hearing, whether by podcast or on the TV show, we pray, Lord, you would touch their very soul right now, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, I pray the words, peace be still over our souls. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, last night, I just flew in with my wife from Oklahoma City. We were out there for a pastor's conference. And it's kind of a tough flight because you have to take a bunch of connectors because Oklahoma City is in the middle of nowhere. And we got in late last night, but during the trip on the plane, we encountered a little bit of turbulence. And I'm not terrified to fly, but I'm always considering my mortality when I fly, you know, at all times, you know. And I assume everyone else is. I get very philosophical because I think if this is my last moments, let me write something good. And there was a bit of turbulence on the plane. It was shaking and it was rumbling and it was, you know, it was a little bit scary. But I heard, because I wasn't asleep, I heard the captain come over the system in that captain voice. You know, that captain voice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be experiencing a little bit of turbulence. How come all captains sound exactly the same? Exactly the same. Like, do they clone you guys in a factory? How does this happen? There must be diverse captains. They must be come from different places of the nation, but nope, they all have captain voice. I wonder if it's not a real captain up there, or maybe it's a real captain, but I wonder if he just pipes in the same thing every flight. It's really sunny where we're headed, and so the winds are at our tail, and they always throw in like a little airplane joke or whatever that no one gets. And he came over the system, and he goes, it's a little bit of a bumpy ride, but just go ahead, stay back in your seat, stay buckled, and enjoy. We're going to get you there in one piece. And it's like, thanks. And so I was ready for the turbulence. I was prepared because the captain had already said that on the flight path, in the direction we're headed, there's going to be a little turbulence. But the guy sitting across from me fell asleep a little early and apparently didn't get the message. And so when we hit some turbulence, the guy woke up, you know, and I was watching him. I saw him, you know. He didn't think anybody saw him, but I saw him. And the guy woke up, but like, you ever wake up and you forget where you are? This guy woke up and he forgot, he was alive. It was like another level. The guy woke up and he was like shaking and holding on to the sides. And he was nervous, you know, and he was trying to play it off, but we're still jumping. And so it just added to it. You could tell a guy didn't know where we were. And it's like, relax, man. We're in a vacuum-sealed tube 33,000 feet in the air. Nothing to worry about. He's nervous, and he's shook, you know. And I wasn't shook. I was just sitting there. But it wasn't because I was brave. It was because I had heard the forewarning from the captain. I trusted in his experience. And I was watching the stewardesses. Let me tell you, it's a little tip. If the stewardesses are shook, start praying Hail Marys. You know what I'm saying? I remember one time we were on a plane to Florida and the guy just decided to ride the turbulence for some reason. 3 straight hours, he was just in it. And we're just going like this. And I was thinking, I couldn't sit next to my wife, but there was this older gentleman. And I was like, at least he's comforting her. No, the little girl was comforting this older man. She was holding his hand saying, it's gonna be all right. And this guy was, you know, nervous. But not me, I was watching the stewardess. And the stewardess is just sitting there, nothing on her face. So I said, we're good. And she's nodding to people. You know, so I'm saying we're good, but I saw a little fear flicker across her face, and that's when I started praying, Lord Jesus, I have a calling on my life. I know it. I know I have a calling, Lord. Even if the plane goes down, Lord, let it be the front half, Lord. They already have good seats, God. You know, they enjoyed their life. I'm in the back with the riffraff. Let us survive, God. Give us a chance to get up front, God. Some people are like, how could he joke about that? I wasn't shook because I heard the captain say there's going to be a little bit of turbulence. I trusted in his authority on the subject and his experience on the subject. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the captain of our ship. He's the captain of our soul. And he did promise. He said this, look, there will be trouble. I love Jesus because he's not a liar. He tells the truth. There will be times of trouble, but take heart, take courage, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the trouble. I have overcome the fear. I have overcome the nervousness. He is the captain of the ship, and he has gone before us. And he says, there might be some trouble getting to where I'm coming, but you're gonna arrive on the other side. You're gonna be safely. So now turbulence really is just a shadow or a foreshadowing that you're going through a time of transition. There might be some turbulence when God is bringing you to higher altitudes. And there might be some shaking. There might be some nervousness. But no, it is for your own good. He has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. He is the captain of this ship. And he knows we're safe in his arms. We're safe in the shadow of the Almighty. We therefore are no longer overcome by present circumstances. Our hope is in the promise of the cross. If your hope is in present circumstances, then every time there's turbulence and a shaking in your life, you are given permission to freak out. But if your promise is in the Savior, the turbulence just means he's about to do something new. He's about to do something greater. He's still in control. You're about to go to another level. He has not forgotten, abandoned, or given up on you. He's bringing you somewhere. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's bringing you somewhere. And so Jesus finds himself in some turbulence. He's in some choppy seas, in a stormy sea amongst his disciples. See, he instructed them, let's get in the ship and let's go over to the other side. That's the instructions of God to his disciples. Let's go over to the other side. Let me tell you, you are, and we are, in a journey with Jesus. And we are going over to the other side. Our hope is not where we came from. And our hope is not in our presence. Our hope is on the other side. And Jesus says, come with me, because I'll bring you to the other side. This ship is not our home. Our home is on the other side. And Jesus says, I'm going to bring you somewhere. And there may be some storms and there may be some seas and it may get you a little bit nervous, but you're going to make it, if you stay with Christ, to the promised land, heaven. Let's go to the other side. And that's really what Christianity is all about. Not the present circumstances, but the promised destination. And so the Bible says that all the disciples, following his instructions, they got into the boat. And Jesus himself got into the boat, and they began to push off. And you know what I think is interesting is this boat really is a physical representation, in my opinion, of the church. Now, the church is a temporary transportation. It is a physical vehicle of rescue. The church cannot save you. Jesus saves you. But he uses the church to hold you until you get to the other side. This is a great place. There is hope and there is freedom, but it's not the greatest place. Heaven is our greatest hope and it's our greatest freedom. This is just a type. It's just a shadow. It's just a temporary transportation. And so we find the disciples, they get into these boats. How do I know this is a representation of the church? Number one, it is a physical place. Number two, the disciples are in the boat. You know what I love about the church? The disciples, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the encouragers, the believers are in the boat. They're in the boat. Let me tell you, if they're in the boat, listen to what they've got to say. But if they're not yet in the boat, be careful allowing everyone else to tell you about your surroundings. You need to get with those that are in the boat. And even if a storm shows up, grab the hand of the person that's in the boat next to you and say, we are in this thing together. The boat is the picture of the church, and the church has the disciples in it. But even better than that, the Bible says, and Jesus got in the boat. Jesus, the presence, the power, the spirit of Jesus is in our midst. He's in the boat. He's in the church. Thank you, Lord. We're not just doing this ourselves. This is not just a self-help club, a social club where we get together and hear niceties and move on with our lives. This is the ship of salvation that's ferrying us out of darkness and into light, out of our old life and into a new life, out of our past and into our future, and Jesus is along for the ride. He's the captain of the ship. He's the one who is in charge. How many are grateful to be in the boat? And I'm here to tell you that because Jesus is in the boat, there's peace in the boat. See, a place of peace is found in the person of Christ. So many people are searching for peace, not understanding. It's not something to achieve, it's a person to meet. It's not circumstances to arrive to, it's a person to meet. It's a person to encounter. We try to achieve peace through so many different means, not knowing peace is something you receive, not achieve. It's something not based on the circumstances or your surroundings. It's peace within your soul because you have a Savior within your soul. Peace is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Peace is a state of being and receiving far more than it is achieving. It's a present. It's a gift from God. And all you have to do is receive it. See, that's how grace is so important. It's by grace we receive from Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, what do you need? Peace? I've got peace because I am peace, and I can give it to you. The only thing we have to do is be able to receive the peace of Jesus Christ, because he's the source. The Bible says that peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Your mind can't always conceive what your spirit can receive. Peace that passes understanding. I can't even figure out why I've got peace in this situation. I can't even understand why I feel the way that I do. It must be because of Jesus Christ. Because if it's not him, this would not be coming from me. And it's certainly not coming from the storm. There must be a captain of this ship. There must be a mighty hand that's got it over my life. There must be a refuge city I found myself in. I can't understand it, but my soul feels it. My soul experiences peace that passes all understanding. Because the reality is, as long as the Savior rests in you, the storm can never wreck you. Take heart. I have overcome the world. God doesn't promise peace in our surroundings, per se, but he does promise peace in our soul. He promises peace in our soul. And I believe he breathes peace into our soul. He gifts peace to our soul. You got to be careful trying to find peace from voices that are not the voice of the Holy Spirit. You got to be careful to try and find peace from surroundings that don't include the presence of Jesus Christ, because they might be filled with fear. The Bible says a mighty storm arose, and I'm here to tell you, mighty storms will arise. Just because you're in the church doesn't mean you're absent from storms. We're going to endure the exact same storms of the world, but the beauty is we've got a boat, we've got believers, and we've got the person of Jesus Christ on our side. I've heard so many people say, and many of you that have been through very serious situations will say this and know this to be true. People will say, I don't understand why, but I just feel a sense of peace in the room. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a hospital room and they say, I'm just telling you though, we've got the best nurses and they're praying with us and they're agreeing. There's a spirit of Jesus in the room. In the midst of chaos, somehow there's Jesus in the room. They say, I don't understand it, but I can feel his presence. Peace that passes our minds, but our spirits can grab hold on to. Thank you, Lord, for that peace. It's a little bit like a hurricane. You know, in the midst of the most tragic hurricanes and the most wild chaos, there's an eye in the storm. Where you, if you get into the eye of the storm, all of a sudden there's a calm. And you can, and many people have said this, you can actually see the edges and the raging sometimes of hurricanes and still be sitting in the calm of the storm. And I'm here to say, man, that's quite a representation of Jesus Christ. That though chaos may surround you, if Jesus is at the center, you could be in the eye of the storm. Though there may be anarchy around you, if Jesus is at the center, there could be calm in your soul. In your soul. And so many people are looking for a calm soul, and they're looking to circumstances of life, not understanding you might be in a storm, but there's someone greater within that storm. There's rest for your soul. There's rest for your soul. The only problem is Jesus is sleeping on the boat. Like, it's good to know that Jesus is there, but he's chilling. And the disciples start getting nervous. You know, the Bible says they're about halfway across the lake. They're in the middle of their journey. And the Bible says suddenly a storm came. And honestly, that's how storms do come. They come suddenly. There's actually a mountain range around the Sea of Galilee, and the storm would form behind the mountain range, and all of a sudden it would sweep over the mountains and it would find itself in the middle of the lake. That's many times how storms come. They're created in situations you almost don't even understand, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the midst of a storm. You know, this week we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, you know, in the time of our nation. And Jesus never promised no storms. He promised that he himself is the peace. We find ourselves in a storm. Now, some people, 50% of you, think that we are entering the storm. And you see it coming over the mountains and you're nervous. The other 50% feel like the storm has just passed. But no matter what, the reality is there are going to be storms. Whether we're going into one or coming out of one, there's going to be another one. The Bible says that in the end times, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be brother against sister, father against mother. There's going to be family torn asunder. There's going to be groaning of the earth. There's going to be storms. Even in your very life, there are going to be times of storms. You say, well, I prayed a prayer. And they promised me that Jesus would take everything. No, Jesus will be rest for your soul, but you might have to go through some very difficult surroundings. And your response to the surroundings will show the state of your soul. And many people, I believe, are looking to see your response. And I'm here to declare, may the church begin to rise as a place of peace in the hour of greatest need. Jesus is in the church. Peace is among us. He's still on the throne. He's never left the throne. And the government will always be on his shoulders. I'm not worried. I know the Lord Jesus, in the scope of eternity, is bringing us to the other side. He's bringing us to the other side. And so he's resting. Now see, the disciples are freaking out. They're reacting to the storm. They're nervous and they're shouting and they're flipping out. But Jesus is relaxed. He's resting. Bible says he's sleeping. How could you sleep at a time like this? Do you ever have any friends that can fall asleep like instantly standing up in a movie? On a ride in Disney, you have people that just can fall asleep. I'm not that person. I'll be trying to sleep. And if I think, oh man, the cabinet downstairs is open, that's it. That's the end of the night. I gotta get up, I gotta close the cabinet, now I'm up. Sometimes I'll go to sleep and I'll hear my brain say, hey, there's a light on somewhere in the room. I'll open my eyes, I'll see a little green light in the far corner, and it taunts me. Good luck. You'll never sleep. Jesus is sleeping in the midst of chaos. In the midst of the storm, he's silent. What do you do when your Savior goes silent in the midst of your storms? How do you react when your Savior doesn't give you the response you're expecting in the time frame you're expecting it in? What do you do? The disciples, they freak out and they say, Lord, we're about to drown. Don't you even care? Aren't you even paying attention? Aren't you even nervous? Because we are. But Jesus says, look, I've already overcome the world. See, here's the beauty. I'm going to try and sit here. Let's see if I can sit here. This is unsteady. Hold on. We're ready to go here tonight. It's not night. It's morning. Okay. All right. This is good. Jesus is resting. He's relaxing, the Bible says, in the back of the ship. Though the storm is raging all around these people, the Bible says Jesus is at peace because Jesus is modeling who he is. He's modeling who he is. And the disciples are reacting like they are. They've got no power in the storm, therefore they must react in fear. And let me tell you, you want to be careful what voices you allow to speak into your life and form your reaction. Because the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but not just of love, of power and of a sound mind, of a calm spirit, a solid knowledge that he is our protector. Love, power, and a sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but hear me, people and spirits are trying to birth a spirit of fear in your life and over this nation. And when I see that and I feel that, I must think back to, but Jesus is resting in the boat when the storm is all around that. Why does Jesus get to rest when the disciples have to react? Why does Jesus get to chill when we are all nervous about drowning? Because if our life is in our hands, maybe we are drowning. But if our life is in his hands, he says, I've already overcome. See, he can rest because the work is already done. Jesus already went to the cross. He already paid the debt. He already overcome the world. He already went through the greatest storm, which is hell and the grave, and it did not take him out. He did not drown. He remains unconquered. He rose again. So though the storm rises, it's a temporary squall because he is the mighty king who sits on the throne, and when he rests, may we be able to rest. I'll tell you what, I don't accept a spirit of fear from MSNBC. They're not the Lord. They say, be nervous, be scared. Or Fox News, be scared. I'm not going to be scared. The Bible says that God has not given me a spirit of fear. So why would I accept a spirit of fear from you? Why would I accept a spirit of fear from you? Is the spirit on you Holy Spirit? Or is the spirit on you greed? Is the spirit on you division? Is the spirit on you nerves? Is the spirit on you unable to react when the storm comes? But that's not the spirit of Jesus Christ. He rests in the midst of chaos. And I pray And I'm not taking it lightly. I know many times our spirits go through agony. And I know many times our spirits go through very real storms. But I am here to say to you today, even in the midst of the storm, you have a Savior who's more powerful than that storm. There's not a storm he's met that he's unmatched for. He's not unaware. His silence doesn't mean he's unaware. His silence might mean this is a little bit of a test, and I'm not going to tell you the answer in the middle of a test, but come through it. You're going to make it. See, because Jesus is on the boat. He's not nervous. He's on the boat. The disciples are nervous of drowning, and they say, Jesus, wake up. Do something. Do something. You know, I'm here to tell you today, stay on the boat. Stay on the boat. Stay on the ship. Don't jump too soon. You say, I'm a little bit nervous, or I don't like how the boat looks. Stay on the boat. Well, Peter's getting on my nerves. He got on everybody's nerves. Stay on the boat. You know, I heard someone say to me this week, well, I don't like your opinion, so I left the church. I don't like your political opinion, so I left the church. And I say, man, you left an eternal boat for a temporary opinion? I might not like my opinion next week. We'll see. Don't jump ship just yet. We're in this thing together. It's not about one man. It's about the Savior. It's about Jesus. It's not about you or me. We're the ones who freak out. Is this not true? We react and say, the world is collapsing, but Jesus knows I have overcome it. The Bible tells us of a story where Paul is going to Rome, and they encounter a huge storm that lasts for weeks. But the Bible says that an angel appears to Paul and says, you will make it to Rome, don't worry. But whatever you do, stay on the ship. Stay on the ship. And so Paul says to the centurion, when some of the people try and jump ship in the middle of the mayhem, he says, hey, listen, go tell those people they got to stay on the ship or they will surely perish. I'm here to tell you today, stay on the ship. Whatever you do, the boat has the presence. It's got the believers. It's got the people of God. And as the storm rises, don't jump off and try and save yourself. The problem is we want to go back. We want to go back to what was comfortable because we think we weren't in a storm until we got on the ship with you, Jesus. And the disciples begin to freak out and they say, Jesus, you're the one that told us to get on the ship. You're the one that brought us in the middle of this place. And now we're going to drown? This doesn't make any sense. Don't you know this? And it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, we know the end of the story. Well, they didn't. And to be honest, many times we react the same way. Jesus, I thought you were saying to go to them. I thought you were saying to accept this job. I thought you were saying to have another child. I thought you were saying you were going to protect me. I thought you were going to say, and you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful that you don't begin to believe the winds and the waves more than the wind and the wave maker. Because there is a very real chance that you could go back to where you started and miss getting to the other side. See, Jesus wants to bring you somewhere. Yes, in eternity, but even in your life. He didn't save you to leave you. He saved you to bring you on a beautiful journey from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And it might be a little bumpy. It might be a little rough. It might be a little difficult, but he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never forget you. He'll never abandon you. And he'll surely never let you drown. Paul says, don't let them get off the ship and try and save themselves, because reality is that's what we try and do all the time. We get on the boat, and when it's relaxed, we're good. But when the squall kicks up, and when things begin to go wrong in our life, that's when we say, you know what, though? I got to go back to my old job. I got to go back to my old money. I got to go back to that old relationship, because it looks like no one's coming through, so I'm going to do me. I'm going to save myself. It's sometimes easier to go back to what we know than to go into the future that we don't know. But I'm telling you, if Jesus says go into the future, it's always the better. It's always the better. You know, one time I went to Boston with my wife, and I'm not great at directions. And I've received that from my dad. I'm not great at directions. And I'm not, you know, I'll take some of it, but don't you feel like the Apple Maps is no help at all? They're like, pretty soon you're going to take a right, right now, go right. And I'm like four lanes over. And it's like, you gave me 17 feet to go right. That's it. I'm lost. There goes the day. I got lost going up to Boston, and there's all these windy streets because, I don't know. And Because they just like, Boston's like, you don't know where you're going. That's about right. Welcome to Boston. The rest of the world's like, we'll help you out. Boston's like, you're not from around here. I couldn't find parking, you know, and I didn't want to pay $25 for those underground parking things. So I was just going around and around because I'm so cheap, you know. I'm going around and around, and I promised my wife like a great day. But after like 45 minutes, I'll get more and more frustrated. I'm lost. We're like 13 miles away from Newbury Street. We're in Cambridge now. I'm like, what's going on? All these hipsters. What's happening? And I couldn't figure out where I'm supposed to go. So I said, that's it. We're going home. And we drove an hour back to Providence and went to the same place we always go out to eat. And all the women are like, how could he do that? I gave up. Judge me. Go ahead. I gave up. Because sometimes it's a little bit more easy to go back to where you're comfortable with than to push through for a new experience, to continue the journey. It's like the people of Israel say, you brought us into the desert to leave us here. We're going to die, Moses. We're going to die. Is this your great plan? And I can see the disciples saying the same thing to Jesus. We're out here to drown. But make no mistake, Jesus will say, this might get uncomfortable. This might get a little bit difficult. But if I'm in the boat, we're going to make it to the other side. We're going to make it to the other side. Whatever you do, don't try and row yourself back to where you used to be. Don't try and jump ship now. Don't get too nervous now. Stormy seas just mean deeper waters. More turbulence just means a transition to a higher altitude. The Lord is bringing you somewhere. And I believe no matter what the seas around you declare, there could be peace for your very soul. Peace isn't a place or just a place. It's a person. And the person is Jesus Christ. And as long as you have him, you can overcome the world. Amen. Amen. The Bible says Jesus stands. And he rebukes the winds and the waves, because that's who he was all along. He wasn't unaware. He knew what was going on, but he was going to watch their reaction. He was going to watch to see if they passed the test. He stands and he says, peace, be still. If your faith is always only circumstantial, you'll never see the supernatural. Endure long enough to see the supernatural. Stay in the ship long enough to see the supernatural. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm dealing with anger and it just keeps coming back. You know what I always tell them? Just keep coming to the ship. Just stay in the boat, because sooner or later, something's going to break off. And it might be in worship and it might be in preaching. But frankly, it might be in the lobby where someone says, hey, I just want to pray for you. I got a word from God for you. The Lord does amazing things, but you just got to stay in the ship. Stay in the boat. Don't jump back to who you once were. He's perfecting you. He's bringing you to another place. Jesus stands and he says, peace, be still. The Bible says he rebuked the wind and he spoke to the waves. He rebuked the wind and he spoke to the waves. The wind is unseen. It represents the spiritual air, the spiritual nature. Let me tell you, many of the waves in your life are actually a result of the wind, of the spirit. Let me tell you, there is a spiritual force that's against your life. It's against this church, it's against this region, and it's against this nation. And so I pray that the church begins to rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, peace, be still. Peace, be still. It's easy sometimes to focus on the waves because we can see the waves. We can see it coming, we can see it hit the side of the boat, we know what it looks like, we know what it speaks like. We know that our son is leaving the church. We know that our daughter's caught up in something. It's easy to look at the physical things. We know what it looks like to have lost a job. But I'm telling you, many times the physical waves are connected to a spiritual reality that is against you. But I'm here to say, if Jesus is standing amongst you, no wind and no waves, no spirits in hell, no demons on earth, no waves that come against you, no physical adversity can overcome the power of the word of Jesus Christ. He stands in our midst today, and I believe that he commands peace be still. The stormy soul will not be quieted by the actions of man, but it will be quieted by the command of God. And I pray the Lord commands into your soul right now, peace, be still. I want to invite the band up. We're going to worship together. You know, now's the time amongst this church and amongst this nation to not freak out, not lose our minds, and not believe, hey, we're going to drown. I'm here to tell you, we're not going to drown. We're not going to drown. I'm here to tell you and remind you, this boat is going to get onto the other side. I'm here to tell you this storm is not going to take this thing out. Jesus said, I will build my church. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. Countless people have prophesied the destruction of the ship, but I'm here to tell you the ship is still sailing. And you might need to turn to your neighbor and say, more than that, we're going to need a bigger boat. More people are coming to this church. We're going to need another service. We're going to need another campus. We're going to need a bigger boat because more people are coming and they're finding rest for their weary souls. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus, he's in the ship with us. He's not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you. He's not gone silent on you. He's standing even right now and saying, peace, be still in your soul. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in with us. We hope this message has encouraged you. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out online. Visit @newlife.org. Also, if you're in the Rhode Island or Massachusetts area, we invite you to join us this Sunday at one of our services. Visit newlife.org/locations for more information. Have a blessed day.